Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
What time is hold time? What time is hold time?
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Podcast, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Ringside Robert, and England's adopted son, Joe Habib. We have a great show for you today. And as always, you can catch us on the web at ringsidereporter.com. If you want to call and ask questions, you can call in right now, 323-870-3857. And we'll be here. It's about 8 o'clock now. What is it, 8 o'clock? So we'll be here until about 9:30 tonight. Today, we're going to talk about Triple G versus Canelo is in jeopardy. Robbie, your boy may not be fighting on May 5th, and we'll tell you all about it. Keith, No Time Thurman, pulls out of another fight. But first, we get started with the heavyweight championship of the world. IBF, WBO, and WBA titles on the line. Anthony Joshua versus Joseph Parker. This was a good fight. This was a very technical fight. This was a very tactical fight. I was like most people. I expected AJ to knock him out, you know, probably within 10 rounds. That's what I said. But either way, AJ won. I thought he won more rounds. I just thought that, you know, through the fight, Parker – you know, was just on the back foot a little bit too much for me. And he wasn't offering up too much. He would throw his jab out to neutralize AJ's attack, but that's it. And it wasn't like, AJ was throwing, you know, AJ wasn't, scoring. He was throwing to me. AJ was the busier fighter. He was moving forward. Parker's defense was very good. Very good defense. He looked good. He's a very awkward heavyweight to fight in the sense that, you know, when you watch him, he looks like a light heavyweight. You know, he moves around the ring. He's very, you know, he throws that jab out there. His hands are down. He's a little bit quicker. You know, he looks like a light heavyweight to me. He looks like a lighter weight fighter. But, you know, that's not something you really see in the heavyweight division. All that being said, I think Anthony Joshua kind of imposed his will on him. I know a lot of people aren't going to be happy with the outcome. They wanted Joshua to win by, you know, walkover. But, hey, at the end of the day, this is a high-level opponent. This is a high-level guy. World champion, by the way, Joseph Parker. I mean, and he won on the scorecards 118 to 110 twice, 119 to 109. I had it 117, 111 for Joshua. Beeb, you had it 116, 112, I believe, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So it was a, it was one of those fights, man. It was a, to me, it was kind of a, you know, kind of one-sided. The fight was never really in doubt. You know, they both got good punches in. But Parker, again, played too much defense, didn't play enough offense, and the fight got out of hand. To me, anyway, it got away from him pretty quick. So that was the fight. And now Anthony Joshua is the heavyweight champion of the world, not the undisputed yet. One belt left. He has three of the four belts. The only belt eluding him right now is the WBC belt, which Deontay Wilder has. After the fight, they asked him, do you want to fight Deontay Wilder? Of course, his answer was yes. Eddie Hearn said that they want to negotiate with him. He said that they want to negotiate. They want the fight with Wilder. But the caveat is it sounds like they're going to have to come to England to do it. And it's not a bad place to fight. I mean, I think there was 70 or 80,000 people there tonight. Not a bad place to do it. If you're going to do it, hey, I mean, he's the guy. I mean, he's got a lot of bargaining power now. Three of the four belts. So, and, you know, listen, if he decides not to fight Wilder next, you got Alexander Povetkin there, who beat David Price, and we'll talk about that fight in a minute, but you have Alexander Povetkin there. They fight, you know, they'll fight, and they'll draw another 80, 90,000 people, you know, again, wherever they fight. So it's, you know, it's kind of tough to get the ball out of the court now because Joshua kind of holds a lot of cards now. He really does. Wilder doesn't really have anything in it. So if Joshua fights Povetkin next, who does Wilder really realistically fight next? He's kind of out of options. You know, I mean, I don't know, but he doesn't have a whole lot of options in front of him. But either way, that's the way it goes. I do not believe the Wilder fight will be next. I think they both talk a great game, but I don't think that fight's next. Incidentally, Wilder was supposed to be there tonight. They interviewed Eddie Hearn afterwards. They said he was supposed to be here tonight, and he chose not to come, which is true. But they said that I guess they wanted him to get in the ring with Joshua afterwards and kind of hype the fight. Joshua didn't want to do that. He even talked about getting extra security and stuff like that. Wilder said something about a restraining order. I didn't hear that, but they didn't want him to get in the ring. So Wilder said, you know what, I'm not going. And you know what, good for him. Why go there if you're not, you know, you're going to fly in to watch him fight and then you're not going to hype anything. You're just going to be there. I don't know. I mean, I think I could have went either way with it. I would have liked to seen him there. I think if he wants to fight, he probably should have been there. You know, call him out in his own home country. I mean, what else? I mean, what's bigger than that? So call him a coward right in front of all his people. I don't know, man. B, what were your thoughts on this fight?
Fight was definitely a chess match. It's very tactical. You know, it depends what type of style you like, because I had this fight even after eight rounds. I thought that Parker was definitely the ring general early on in this fight. He was backing up, but he was kind of going in and out a little bit, throwing the jab primarily as just a rhythm breaker to Joshua, trying to offset Joshua's rhythm, prevent him from getting set. And I thought Joshua was doing a lot of chasing. So it was almost like a cat and mouse type thing. But, you know, Parker would touch him here and there. He would land body shots. Obviously, they really didn't look like they were doing a ton of damage. The jab wasn't always landing, but occasionally he would touch him, hit him in the chest. Landed a nice right hand in the fifth round. But at the end of the day, you know, Joshua just he was able to kind of push Parker into corners and up against the ropes later in the fight. The last four rounds, I thought that Joshua upped his offense a little bit, pressed a little bit harder, and I think Parker may have faded a tad bit because, again, you know, these guys are heavyweights, and even welterweights, middleweights, no one can fight a whole fight on their toes. At some point in time, you're going to have to stand your ground and earn your respect. And going into this fight, two things I thought were major caveats for Joseph Parker. Number one, I did not think he'd have enough power to keep Anthony Joshua off him, or at least from moving forward, number one. And number two, he has a history of not having a high output. He has a very economical style, doesn't throw a ton of punches, likes to pot shot a little bit, likes to try to be the counter puncher. Joshua wasn't overly aggressive early on in this fight. He was, you know, fighting behind the jab. He wasn't trying to lead with power shots or take any chances early on. And I think that's what Parker was waiting for. Parker was waiting for Joshua to load up and try to land big bombs. But one thing I will say that I'm starting to learn about Anthony Joshua, he's definitely a well-rounded fighter. But I'm going to say the same thing I said about Triple G. I'm going to say the same thing about him. I said Triple G is dangerous from everywhere, whether it be from the outside, whether it be mid-range, or whether it be up close, deep in the pocket. But if you're going to gamble on a way to beat him, if you're going to, you know, pick and choose your poison, I think the best way is to beat him on the outside. I think Danny Jacobs had great success against Triple G from the outside. And when Triple G started closing the gap a little bit, that's when he was able to have some success. Same thing with Anthony Joshua. I know we spoke off air about this, making a comparison between Anthony Joshua and Deontay Wilder. But Anthony Joshua seems to always need that momentum. He has to always move forward and step hard into his shots to generate that power. Whereas Deontay Wilder is very long and rangy. And he'll sometimes, you know, etch forward a little bit, creep up a little bit, but he stops. He can stop and just, you know, stop and pop, basically. He can stop and throw long, straight punches and catch you right at the end of the shot and still hurt you. He doesn't have to, like, go, boom, and throw the big overhand. He can just stop and go, boom, like that. And he's hurting guys with just straight right hands. He's not really going over the top, you know, putting a ton of weight on. Obviously, he's shifting his hip into it, with no question. But he's a guy that can stop and pop from long range. And guys may think they're not going to get hit flush, but all he has to do is make contact, and he's taking guys out from long range. Whereas Anthony Joshua, watch him come forward. He's like a bull coming forward. It's like he's over the top. Everything's like boom, boom. And that's not to say he's not a skilled fighter, because he does set the shots up beautifully, and he's a fluid combination puncher. But he needs to step into everything. He cannot generate power with his feet planted and just shooting shots. And that's the big difference. That's why Wilder is so dangerous, because he's going to hit you with these long, you know, long range missiles from the outside, and those are the shots that a fighter is not expecting to hurt them as much, but everything that Wilder seems to throw at that right hand detonates people. So that's one thing I noticed in this fight. I thought, you know, Parker was having some success when he had space in between the two of them, but it's hard to keep space in between Deontay Wilder and yourself if you're an opponent in there, because as I said, he's like an octopus. He can punch you from halfway across the ring and he'll hurt you. And that's what I'm starting to see here that could be problematic when and if these two guys fight.
Babe, let me ask you something. I think that if I had to guess, my best guess would be Anthony Joshua is going to take a beating on social media for this fight, in a fight which he won, and he won it fairly handily. I mean, especially on the scorecard.
He did.
Won it fairly handily.
Clear victory.
Fair? Fair criticism?
Oh, the criticism? No, I'm going to say no, because I challenge any fighter to look good against Joseph Parker. I don't think Deontay Wilder would look good against Joseph Parker.
Wasn't Parker unbeaten? Parker was unbeaten.
You know, but the one thing I think Deontay Wilder could do, though, is, like I said, he doesn't have to move forward. He could just stand there. Watch Deontay Wilder a lot, because he kind of baits guys to move forward too. He'll kind of edge up just a little bit, then he'll just stop, and he'll kind of go hang out there a little bit, throw the little paw and jab out there, a little range finder, and he'll suck guys, you know, coming forward. So I could see Wilder landing a big right hand against Joseph Parker and actually knocking him out, because Wilder is very patient. He really believes in his power, whereas he could just kind of sit there and just, you know, stay in the center of the ring and let you come to him. Anthony Joshua does not let anyone come to him. He has to be the aggressor. See what I'm saying? Deontay Wilder doesn't have to be the aggressor. That's what people don't really realize. Like, he is not a guy that just comes at you with a full head of steam and tries to run you down and walk you back. No, watch him closely. Even though that's the Stiverne fight, again, it's a horrible example, but he just stood there and was like, boom, boom, from long range. He's like, boom, boom, boom. He didn't even come forward until Stiverne was staggered and fell back into the ropes. That's when he jumped in his chest. But really watch him. He just plants his feet, and he's just like, boom, boom, boom. And the punches don't look like they have a ton of leverage on them, but he is just so gifted with power that he hurts guys. So Anthony Joshua should not get criticized for this performance, because Joseph Parker is very crafty, very tricky, very hard to look good against, constantly moving, constantly making you reset. I don't think anyone is going to, you know, steamroll through Joseph Parker. He's a guy that's going to be hard to get out of there. He's going to be a guy that's going to be hard to fight regardless of who you are.
Right.
Even Deontay Wilder. Deontay Wilder could be down 9 rounds to zip. But again, that freaking right hand is the eraser. I don't think Anthony Joshua has that one punch knockout power to the extent that Deontay Wilder does. And again, I've been the biggest Deontay Wilder critic, but I'm just seeing
no.
him touch guys and the reaction. I just can't deny how dangerous the guy is anymore. I can't.
No, I mean, he's dangerous, no question, but I think the thing is, like I said, I mean, you know, the difference, like Mike Tyson, you know, he can hit you with both hands and get you out of there. And I think Deontay Wilder really can hit you with both hands and get you out of there. He's a big guy, strong guy, you know, he can get you out of there, no question. The problem comes in is that Mike Tyson also won decisions. You know, I mean, when he couldn't knock guys out, Tony Tucker, you had Tony Tucker, you had James Quiktillis, who, you know, you watch that fight again, that was a lot closer than anybody thinks here, man. That's a close fight. I've even heard people argue for Tillis in that fight, but be that as it may. You know, you have these fights, and Mike Tyson won decisions. Deontay Wilder is not going to win a decision. And sooner or later, you're not going to be able to land that big right hand. But, you know, hey, as of right now, we haven't really seen it. And his big decision was against Furman Stiverne. So, incidentally, before I shoot it over to Robbie here, the Final Four, first game is over. Loyola Chicago goes down. Cinderella, the glass slipper breaks. Michigan, Big Blue, will go on. Final score 69-57. They go on to the championship Monday. Robert, your opinion on the Joshua Parker fight?
Well, first of all, I'm going to give credit to Joseph Parker for putting up a better fight than what people expected. I scored it 7-5 for Joshua. Parker gave him issues, lots of issues, that I've never seen anybody give Anthony Joshua before. You know, defensively. I mean, offensively, he didn't do enough. Let's say, you know, when you're on the road, when you're not fighting in your home country or your hometown, you've got to do more to show the judges how badly you want to fight. You know, and he didn't do that. But defensively, he kept himself in this fight and gave Anthony Joshua fits. From what I've seen today, I don't know if Anthony Joshua is ready for Deontay Wilder, just because I didn't expect Parker to give Joshua so many fits. I think Joseph Parker would give anybody trouble. Now that I've actually, I mean, I've seen him fight Andy Ruiz, but, you know, and that was a difficult fight also to watch. But, and that's the only fight I've ever seen Parker really in. Today, he impressed me, even though he lost. I don't know. You know, I don't know what's going to happen with Joshua now. But he definitely needs to work on some things, in my opinion, from what I saw today. I don't know if it's Joshua needing to work on things or whether Parker's just that good defensively. I'm still kind of confused with what I actually saw. Thank God I've got it recorded and I can go back and watch it again.
What did you guys think of the referee in this one? Because I thought the referee was...
it sucked.
Awful. I mean, they would get into a, you know, trading punches and everything. Next thing you know, they're getting broken up. And I'm like, what is this guy doing?
I wouldn't let this guy referee a mud wrestling match between two strippers at the Foxy Lady in Providence. That's how bad he was.
Oh, come on. He's got a family, Beeb. Come on.
Okay, I mean, let's face it. Why did they have to bring in an Italian referee?
Ah, who cares? I mean, I don't know why.
You know,
stop. Guy's got a family. They just
you got to bring in an experienced referee. And I know the UK and the United States have plenty of referees that could have done this. You know, he was lost in that ring. You know, it was awful.
It was terrible. It was terrible for sure. So the big question here, and one that everybody wanted to know after the interview, do you think that I'll go to Beeb first, Joshua versus Wilder, does it happen? Does it happen next?
You know, it's funny. It seems very improbable, but something's telling me it can. I think it can happen next. I really do. I think Hearn has really miscalculated how big Wilder is in the UK. He's bigger in the UK than he is over here. As sad as that is to have to say, I think it's true. You know, his name was being mentioned so many times over the weekend. His name was popping up in every interview. What do you think about Wilder not coming? What do you think? Will this fight happen between him and Joshua next? Eddie Hearn was getting angry about it because Eddie Hearn wanted Wilder to go down there so he could throw Dillian White in his face, and he wanted to create drama between him and Dillian White.
Yeah.
But it's so hypocritical because you want drama between those two guys, hype between those two guys. But what about drama and hype between Wilder and Joshua? And then he has the gall to say, oh, we had a press conference scheduled. We were going to do this, that, and the third. So wouldn't it, you know, be kind of courteous to tell the guy, hey, we're going to, when you come down there, we're going to have a press conference? Deontay Wilder had no knowledge of that. He didn't mention that they were going to have a press conference, man.
Because it
didn't. Adam Smith from Sky, he even mentioned it too. So it's going to be like kind of like a meet and greet between Deontay Wilder and the fans. So what is the purpose of all of this if at the end of the day there's no Joshua fight attached to it? Why go down there to try to make Eddie Hearn and Sky Sports and Match from Sport look good? What does Wilder get in return? So I think it was very funny that even with him not being there, he was still the focal point of the conversation. And unfortunately, with all due respect, he overshadowed Joseph Parker, and he didn't even have to show up. He got free promotion. By him not being there was more of a story than him actually being there. And this was basically shots fired. This was, you know, the first move in the battle of chess. You know, as I said several times, and I hate to beat a dead horse, but the fight starts before the contract is even signed. The fight starts before the first bell even rings. Once you guys start talking, it's psychological warfare. And right now, Deontay Wilder's up 2-0 against Eddie Hearn and Anthony Joshua, for whatever that's worth. And I think that Deontay Wilder is in Anthony Joshua's head right now. I do. Whether that means anything, I think it does. I think it does. And I said several times that I thought Anthony Joshua would win this fight if they ever fought. But the more time that goes on, Now I'm almost 50-50 right now. That's how sick it's been. That, you know, because listening to Anthony Joshua talk, saying things like I'm afraid to lose, you know, saying that I'm not ready. Maybe 2019, 2020. That's a confidence problem. You're showing your hand, and you know, Deontay Wilder is very confident. Deontay Wilder is very confident. He doesn't believe he should lose this fight, and doesn't matter if I think Anthony Joshua can win. Does he think he can win? I just think psychologically there's something about this guy, Deontay Wilder, that he may feel uncomfortable about. I'm not inside his head, but the body language, the tone of his voice, the mannerisms, the attitude when he's being asked questions about this man, it just doesn't bode well. For me, I just think there's something going on here, and I think there is some sort of concern about this guy Deontay Wilder from Anthony Joshua. I really believe that.
Beeb, Georgie pointed it out in the chat, and you know what? I got to agree with him. Beeb sold out his UK citizenship.
You know what? This Deontay Wilder has really, really won me over. I like the way he's been promoting himself. I like the way he's been carrying himself. He's really starting to resonate with me. This is what I want my heavyweight champion to be. I want him to be confident. I want him to be outspoken. I want him to be vocal. I want him to say, I want to fight the best. I want him to say, I want to unify the title. I don't want a heavyweight champion that's going to say, I'm not ready yet. You're wearing three belts now. Three belts now. Okay? Four belts, if you want to count the IBO. You got four belts now. You can never utter those words, I'm not ready, when you got four belts. Yeah. And why would you not want the most prestigious one of them all, which is the WBC? That's probably the most prestigious belt in boxing right now is the WBC. Everybody wants that green belt, but you don't. You know, again, with all due respect to Joshua, he's a great fighter, no question about it. And I'm not here to diminish him in any way, but I'm listening to both guys talk. One guy's talking like the heavyweight champion,
yep,
and the other guy's not.
Yep.
And that's just a fact, in my opinion. That's just my interpretation of the whole thing.
I thought the big green belt was the IBO. Is that not the case?
No, it's the WBC.
The IBO is red. Please.
Is it? I thought it was. No, the IBO is green. Isn't it?
No,
the big O?
I believe it's red. I believe it's red.
The WBO is red. The WBO is red. So are you saying that Eddie Hearn is a wank beeb?
In this instance, I don't like how he's handling this situation.
Robert, how are you gonna trail off of that one? Let's go, Robert. What do you think?
Black.
There you go.
Black. I apologize. The IBO. Your belt is not red. It's black.
Okay. Anyway, let me go here. First of all, let's keep one thing in mind. I read an article this week that indicate that Joshua only has two more fights left with Eddie Hearn. I have a feeling we won't see the Joshua Wilder fight until his contract is up with Eddie Hearn. I think this is going to be drug out because I'm convinced now, after what I saw today and after things I've read and interviews I've listened to, I don't think Anthony Joshua wants any part of Deontay Wilder. And I think he's going to use whatever means necessary to avoid him. I don't see this fight happening until next year at least. I really don't. And I honestly think you can blame Anthony Joshua for this. I think Eddie Hearn himself would like to have the fight. But you've got his biggest client, the one who's holding four belts, who doesn't want it. And I think that's a real problem. And because of that, I don't think we see it till sometime next year. And when we do see it, it will be in the UK. It won't be here in the U.S.
You think it'll be in the UK then? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it'll be in the UK. I think it'll be next spring sometime, maybe early summer in Wembley Stadium. I think that's where it'll be next year.
All right. Incidentally, I looked up the IBO belt and it's green. All right.
What? It's black.
It's green.
It's black.
Son, it's green. Looking at it.
IBO championship belt, that is black.
Son.
World champion IBO, cool. That's black.
Son. Hold on here. Let me bring this up here. Bothering.
That is a black belt.
I got to ask, is one of you colorblind?
Look. It's green, son.
That's green. Black.
It's green.
It's black.
It's money green, son.
We're going to have a heavyweight fight between Eric Lorda and Joe Habib right now.
That is black, Eric. Look at it. Watch. Here's another one. Here's another picture of it. That's black.
That's green. I'm telling you, they're green. I'm seeing green.
That is a black belt.
Man, you've been watching too much Bruce Lee. That's green.
Here it is. Look, that's black.
Dark green. All right. Nate. N for Nate
that's
says
black.
It's dark green, almost black. Somebody said it was awesome. That was green.
That belt is black.
This is like, you know what this is like? This is like that dress that was either white or blue or.
What color is this belt, Linda? What color is that belt? Please, you have your contacts in.
You have your contacts. Green is black.
It's almost black.
It looks black, right?
It could be the dark green.
Boom!
Wait.
Oh!
What color is this? Yeah. Not black.
It's green. Deep's color
blind. Give me the IBO's number.
It looks like a dark green.
Boom!
Go to your room.
Hey, babe, we can't send her to the room. We got to have her for the train wreck. Come on.
I told you.
We need you for the train wreck.
Told you.
Now?
Not now.
Midnight green. Be colorblind, son. Those old eyes. That's right.
All right.
On the undercard, Alexander Povetkin versus David Price. Povetkin KOs David Price in the fifth round. I heard it was a pretty brutal KO. I didn't see the fight. And Ryan Burnett versus Yanfres Parejo. Burnett retains his bantamweight title with a unanimous decision over Parejo. Scores were 120 to 108 twice and 116 to 112. Yeah, so pretty one-sided fight there. All right, let's go to the schedule, the upcoming fights here. I have them listed. Yes, I do. All right, so next week, let's find it.
We have a big one next week.
Yeah. Yeah, we sure do.
That's a good fight next week. I like that one.
April 7th. That's it. Yeah, everything's on April 7th. So there are some other fights during the week, but they're not televised. So there's one on Australia TV. It's two chicks fighting. So
okay.
Let's see. Right. Look at Robert. You're such a sexist pig. April 6th from L.A. on Australia TV. Marlon Esparza versus Leticia Campana. 8 rounds. Female junior bantamweights. There you go. And that's on Robbie's favorite channel, Australia TV. Such a sexist, Robert. Such a sexist. All right. April 7th, the big one at Las Vegas on Showtime. Jared Herd versus Arislandi Lara, 12 rounds for the IBF and WBA junior middleweight unification. Man, that's going to be a good fight. Caleb Truax versus James DeGale. It's a rematch for Truax's IBF super. That's a good fight, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
J-Rock, Julian Williams, trying to get back on track against Nathaniel Gallimore, 12 rounds for the IBF junior middleweight eliminator. Sergio Mora on the undercard against Alfredo Angulo. How about those two are still fighting?
Oh, my God. Those two shouldn't even be in the ring.
Oh.
I cannot believe it.
Yeah. Robert's boy on the same night, not televised, from Laredo, Texas. Ricardo Mayorga versus Rodolfo Gomez Jr., 10 rounds, super middleweights.
That's another one that shouldn't be fighting. My God.
Yeah, right? And that's it for the following week. So let's talk about Jared Herd versus Arislandi Lara. What do you guys think of this, man? I think, I tell you what, I got Lara in this. I think he's just a better boxer. But Herd is a good fighter, man. I can't discount him. I really can't.
Yeah, this is a 50-50 fight. But the thing is Jared Herd gets stronger as the fight goes on. And he's another guy who's not the best boxer in the world, but he just has a way of getting to you. He has a way of figuring you out as the fight goes on. He does little subtle things, those feints, goes to the body a lot. And the big thing about him is he's not the fastest guy in the world with his hands, but he's got pretty quick feet. He knows how to cut off the ring very well, and he knows how to mix up the attack. He commits to the body. If you give him any opening, he's going to find it and he's going to take it. And he's in phenomenal shape. So Lara, who tends to take big stretches of rounds off, tends to kind of fade as the fight goes on. A guy who does not have a high output. He has a tendency sometimes to give away early rounds against guys who press him. And he's the type of guy where if you don't go at him, he's going to kind of leave you alone. Jared Hearn's not going to give him the opportunities to be left alone. You know, he's going to go at him. He's going to take it to him. He's going to commit to the body. Canelo won the fight because of body work. I still think he lost the fight, but people who are advocates for Canelo winning that fight, they mentioned the body work. And I didn't think a lot of those body shots landed. But again, when a judge is watching a fight live, it's hard for him to tell what's landing and what's not landing because he doesn't have the same view that we have. So I could see Jared Herd outworking Arislandi Lara, kind of wearing him down as the fight goes on, slowing him down with body shots. And, the big thing with Lara is he makes you miss, but he doesn't always make you pay. And if he doesn't make Jared Herd pay, Jared Herd's going to continue to go forward and press him. And he's going to, I think he has the ability to maybe even stop Lara late. So unless he does something to slow this young kid down, who's got a battery in his back, doesn't get tired, then it's going to be a long night for Arislandi Lara, in my opinion. I just think the time is right for this kid, Jared Herd, 27 years old. He's shown that he can be outboxed, but he knows how to turn the fight around. He gets better as the fight goes on, as I said. And I think he can have the same situation with Irrislandi Lara. I think he could come on late and cause a lot of problems to Irrislandi Lara in this fight. So I'm going with Jared Hurd. I'm taking Jared Hurd.
There you go. Robert, what say you?
No, it's time to end an era. And for those of you that like your Cuban cigars, you can keep them put away because the Swift is going to take over. He's going to win this fight convincingly. Andrés Lara has had a wonderful career, but his reign as champion is over. Jared Hurd wins, and I think he wins it decisively.
All right. Robert has spoken. Robert is undefeated. All right, guys, let's go to the news and rumors. The big news this week, Canelo and Triple G is in jeopardy. News first started to surface this week that Canelo and Triple G was in the fight was in jeopardy. The MGM had actually started issuing refunds if you bought tickets. It was your choice. If you want a refund, you can get one. But the fact that they were even offering them was a big sign that something was wrong. Enter the Nevada State Athletic Commission. Bob Bennett says that Canelo is guilty, filed a complaint against him, and said Canelo, you know, knew full well. Basically, the complaint read he knew full well what he was doing, whether he ate tainted meat or not. He took the clenbuterol willingly. He had it in the system, and that's a that's a violation. That's pretty strong. That's pretty strong. I mean, it's liability. You know, it's liability on the highest extent. So, Beeb, you've been researching this. I've been kind of looking at things here. What were your thoughts when you first heard the news start to surface? I know we were both very I texted my dad when I found out on like Monday and Tuesday that the fight could be in trouble. And he said, it's all publicity. It's this and that. And then, you kind of said the same thing that the fight will go on, but now it's looking more and more like that fight ain't happening.
This fight is not happening. It's going to be at the very least, in my opinion, well, not even my opinion. I'm very confident Canelo will get a 9-month suspension. He will get at least a $250,000 fine.
Yeah.
Because I read the complaint. I saw the Nevada State Athletic Commission's rules, and it clearly states in their rules, whether it was inadvertent use or not, regardless of the amount in the athlete system, he's not allowed to fight if he has anything in his system, regardless of why and how much. That's a banned substance.
Right.
So that's just their rules. And people can say, well, what about Eric Morales? What about Francisco Vargas? Francisco Vargas fought Orlando Salido in California. Different rules, different state, different commission, different set of rules. Eric Morales fought Danny Garcia in the Barclays Center in New York. Different commission, different set of rules. This is the Nevada State Athletic Commission, okay? They're an island unto themselves when it comes to boxing. And they are going to have a hearing. Now the hearing has been pushed back to April 18th. So that gives them no time to put this fight back together again. I mean, they already given the tickets back. They already refunded them. They're going to have a hearing. But let me just say this. If the commissioner is telling you that he doesn't believe you're going to fight, I think everyone else that's going to be at that hearing and they vote, they're going to follow suit with the commissioner. I firmly believe that. So the thing that's aggravating to me is, why didn't they just come right out and expedite this process? They have everything they need. They should have everything they need. What is the substance was in his system. So regardless of what he says, it's no way he's going to get off here if they're following their own rules, which they're, aggressively saying they're going to do. And the commissioner is filing a formal complaint. So why not just call this thing off right now? I mean, what is going to save him? What, at least give us an indication of what he can do to save himself from avoiding this suspension. Because according to the commissioner and according to the Nevada State Athletic Commission rules, this fight is done. It's over.
Right.
So why drag this out? Why not just end it now?
Right.
And stop like hanging us out there to just wait. Just cut it off. It's done.
Well, not only
that. Wait, I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I cut into you. Not only that, you think about it, like, it's going to be announced on April 10th. The fight is May 5th. That's less than
April
a 18th. Month.
No, they pushed it back to April 18th.
They moved it to the 18th, Eric.
Why would you do that? Yeah, why would you do that? You know, I mean, the fight is less than just at that, you know, a matter of weeks away at that point. I mean, if you don't know if he's going to get suspended or not, you know, I think you have to call the fight and say, hey, this fight is off. We're looking for a new opponent right now. Because how are you going to train, or unless you don't have any plans to fight on May 5th, unless they both just scrap it, you know. But I know Triple G likes to keep busy, but yeah, I don't really get it. And I think
Triple G should not fight on May 5th if he's not going to fight Canelo, because now he's got to get ready for another opponent. He's got to come up with a new strength. It's just bad.
Depends.
It's bad. Then he
depends on who he fights. Could fight some stiff as a tune-up. You know what I mean? I mean, that, you know, hey, I don't like it, but it's hard to fault it. I mean, it really is. I mean, look at Deontay Wilder when what's his name, Povetkin popped or whatever, and he fought. You know, everybody's, you know, he's fighting some stiff or something like that. And I mean,
yeah.
I think, wasn't that the Gerald Washington fight?
Yes.
Yeah
it was Gerald Washington. Yeah. And you can't really fault him for it because it wasn't his fault. He was going to fight.
He wasn't prepared for it,
right.
And he ended up having a tougher fight. So why put yourself in that situation? And what if you get headbutted? What if something happens to you? You blow your knee out? Anything can happen. So it's like, why not just wait?
Yeah, Robert, what are your thoughts on this? You're a big Triple G guy. What are your thoughts on this?
First of all, I think Canelo will be suspended for probably a year at least, 9 months. That's a cakewalk. Slap him for a whole year. Make sure that, you know, if he wants to fight somewhere, let him go fight in Mexico or somewhere. Why in the hell? I don't understand. He's a 27-year-old boxer who's, you know, at the top, what everybody thinks is the top of the boxing drawing card. Why would you allow yourself to be put in a situation where you're going to put something in your body that would cause you to lose a multi-million-dollar payday? I have no sympathy for him whatsoever. He did this to himself. The one I do feel bad for is the guy who's doing everything by the book, who passes drug tests, who you never hear anything bad about, who's been in training camp doing things the right way. What the hell is he supposed to do when he knew all along that he was going to be preparing for Cinco de Mayo? What's he supposed to do now? He is 36. He will be 36 years old next week. I mean, you know, here's a guy who tries to do everything right, and yet his opponent is the one that screws everything up here. I hope that Triple G is able to fight, say, somebody like Billy Joe Saunders, and he's not kept out for most of the year because of Canelo's stupid choices here. I mean, I strictly blame this on Canelo Alvarez and nobody else.
You know, I'll tell you what.
And,
yeah, that's the other thing, too, and that's a good point. I mean, I completely agree with the State Athletic Commission here. This fight does need to be canceled. They're doing the right thing. Because what's to stop every guy who lives in Mexico from saying, you know, just taking the straight out and saying, oh, well, I just ate some meat, you know, and cycling off of it. You know, it only stays me, what was the half-life on that? Like 3 days or 2 days or something like that?
I think it stays in your system for a whole week, but I think it starts to leave your system, say, 3 or 4 days later.
I'll tell you why it's variable. Because when you put it's a stimulant, okay? When you put a stimulant in your body, depending upon your activity level and what you're eating and how much you weigh, you can burn that out of your system in 48 hours.
Yeah.
Because you're training hard and you're burning through the adrenaline. You're sweating. It can come out of your system in 48 hours. But here's the thing. He was never enrolled in the clean boxing program, the WBC VADA clean boxing program. Okay, he was never enrolled in that. And if you're enrolled in that, you're tested, 365 days year round. They can do that to their championship fighters or fighters that are ranked in the top 10. So he wasn't prepared, in my opinion, to be tested so far out. And I'm finding it harder and harder to believe that it was a mistake. And I think that he miscalculated. He wasn't expecting to be tested before training camp started. And that's why I think he got caught, in my opinion. I have no proof of it, but I'm just kind of putting it together in my own head. And I think that, like, as I said, I think he wanted to take it so he can enter camp in pretty decent shape. So then he could just focus more on the strategy as opposed to getting in shape. And I know he moved up in weight. He's 160. I understand all that. But I think he wanted the benefits of having the energy, the stimulatory effect of the drug. People are totally disregarding that. It is a performance enhancer. It's a bronchodilator that increases your stamina, increases the oxygen flow to your lungs because it enables your bronchial tubes to expand, therefore having more oxygen uptake to the lungs, which improves athletic performance. So if he's already going into camp with his wind up and he's in shape, then that's less conditioning work that has to be done, and it's more strategy and more technique and more boxing type stuff as opposed to, you know, exercises to get you in shape. Conditioning exercises, more boxing exercises as opposed to conditioning exercises solely. So that's just my opinion. I mean,
yeah.
I honestly think he was taking the drugs knowingly, in my opinion. That's just me.
100%.
I'm going to put it out there. That's my opinion. I'm just saying that.
Well, I want my guy back in the ring. I want my guy back in the ring as soon as possible. I mean, he did everything right.
There you go.
I'd like to see him fight Billy Joe Saunders now.
No, Saunders.
That's right.
Saunders going to kill your boy, son. Saunders murking him.
Well, wait a minute, Beeb. How about a rematch with Danny Jacobs since they're both already in training camp?
Well, Danny Jacobs got a fight, though.
Yeah, he's got a fight. So, we already seen that fight. Let's see the Saunders fight. I want to see the Saunders fight. We've already seen the Jacobs fight.
But Danny Jacobs earned a rematch, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he can get it after the Saunders
right.
fight.
Right, and he can fight for undisputed.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to the phones. We have a lot of people on the phone line, so just keep in mind that this is kind of you know, a little bit shorter today, but we'll see what goes on. Don't feel rushed, but just kind of keep in mind there are people behind you. 812, you're live. 812.
Hey, Eric, what's up?
Hey, what's happening, man?
All right. Hey, my take on the fight is this: from seeing Joshua today, I don't really have a need to see Joshua and Wilder. It's just two guys that aren't very good. I mean, I don't see what the point is. And I'll tell you this, I think Alexander Povetkin would wreck either one of them.
Well, I think he's the mandatory now. I think Povetkin is the mandatory now for Joshua.
He's number one.
They're crazy if they put him in the ring with him.
I'll tell you what, yeah. I mean, did you see the Povetkin-Price fight? I didn't catch that.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw Price actually looked good, took all the shots, and then, of course, as always, ran out of gas. And it was a devastating knockout.
That's what I keep hearing. I keep hearing it was a bad one, man. Wow.
I hit him with a big hook, and Price's head's bouncing. It was David Price. That's how it ends up all the time. But, yeah, so I want to see Povetkin fight one of these guys because I think Povetkin's the best guy out there. And I'll tell you, the two cruiserweights, Usyk and Gaisaev, hell, I think they can hang with him. I see these guys. They need to win them any good. You watch Wilder for four rounds against Ortiz, it was sad. And this fight was sad. And I think if you put Joshua and Wilder in together, I think they're going to stand there and stare at each other for 12 rounds.
What did you think? What were your thoughts on Parker? Did you think Parker looked any better, or did you not like Parker?
Well, I mean, if I don't like Joshua, how could I like somebody that he beat? I mean, Parker is a skilled guy, but that's it. I mean, he doesn't hit hard enough. He doesn't throw his hands enough. He looks like a heavyweight Adrian Broner. He just kind of stands there, and every once in a while he'll throw a punch. I mean, if he would have actually went after him and thrown the punches, If the referee wouldn't have been bought and paid for by Hearn also, there might have been a chance for something there.
That was a horrible referee. Horrible.
Well, see, yeah, I think this, and that's what I'm talking about, Pavetkin. With Pavetkin, Pavetkin's going to crowd him. And the fact that they have referees like the one today, the one they had for Carlos Takam, those guys do not let any infighting happen. And the thing people don't bring up is this guy was only in 4 world title fights, but he's been a referee in the amateurs for 20 years. That's how fights are refereed in the amateurs, and I guarantee you Eddie Hearn knew that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, man. For sure. Parker is the heavyweight body. You know what? He looked just like him, didn't he? I mean, he really did. He was moving around, and he would throw his jab out only when it was necessary. He didn't want to take a lot of shots. He tried to look cute in there. Yeah. That's a really good.
Yeah, and I mean, the fight was closer than what they had it scored. I actually had it 7-5.
I did too. That's the way I scored.
And I mean,
7-5.
I had it 5-5 going into the 11th round, and then just Parker did nothing the last 2 rounds.
That's right. That's exactly. Yeah, you got it.
And Parker was there to me just to go to distance, because when they interviewed him after the fight, it's a close enough fight. He could have delusionally said he won the damn thing. But he said the better man won, so he knew going in the better man was Joshua. And he went 12 rounds. Everybody in Australia loved his ass even more, even though he didn't win, because, you know, Australia's about like England. So if you can take a good ass weapon and stand up to it, they'll love you to death forever. So, I mean, come on. If Frank Bruno was an American, he'd be homeless on the street somewhere.
He's a national hero over there. That's right. He's a
national
hero.
I know. Getting his ass whipped repeatedly. He hit Tyson that one time, though. I mean, that's basically Frank Bruno's career is based off of he hit Mike Tyson one time and hurt him a little bit, and then he got knocked out. Come on, Henry Cooper was a legend because he dropped Muhammad Ali. Nobody brings up the fact they fought 11 other rounds, and he got butchered for 10 of them.
I tell you, man,
your
favorite, if you had to pick your top heavyweight right now, it would be Pavetkin.
Alexander Pavetkin.
All right. Yeah, I got to catch that. David
was too old. And I don't think Pavetkin's – Pavetkin from 5 or 6 years ago would have knocked all these guys out within a couple of rounds.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, man.
I mean, I hate to pick a white guy as the best heavyweight, but at least he's Russian.
There you go. Hey, I got a question for you real quick. What are your thoughts on the Canelo situation, the Canelo Triple G, and do you think the fight will be canceled? Do you think it goes on, and what were your thoughts?
I think the fight should go on because I want to watch Triple G whip his ass, but it's not going to happen. It shouldn't happen. I mean, clenbuterol, everybody gives Pavetkin crap about Meldonian. Meldonian is something that there's no proof it even works. Number one, but number two, with clenbuterol is something that amateur wrestlers use to cut weight. And the thing is, Canelo, you know, I talked to Kermit Cintron one time. He talked about his fight with Canelo, and he told me 3 years ago, he said he was on something. Because they show up for the fight, it's supposed to be at 153, he weighed 153. The night of the fight, he weighed, 80, and had no fat on him from it. He looked the same as he did at 153. That's what clenbuterol does.
That's
and a lot
insane.
Of these guys use it. And this is the thing. He always used USADA testing before. That's why he didn't get caught, because those guys don't catch anybody. And from what I'm told is the February 17th test was not consistent with, you know, eating tainted meat. The February 20th one was. It tells me they either showed up a few days early or he just mistimed it and got off of it too late.
Yeah.
He did.
And, you know, either way, I think either way it goes down, doesn't matter. I mean, it was in your system. It wasn't supposed to be there. You know, if that's the case, again, man.
Rich enough. If you watch the 24/7 with him and Triple G the last time, he had his own personal chef. You know, so I'm sure that, you know, they're butchering stuff. They know where it's coming from. So it's all bullshit. It's just Oscar De La Hoya trying to cover up. The WBA already came out and said they thought he was innocent. Hard to believe that a Mexican organization would say a Mexican was innocent.
Right. Yeah, Suleiman came out. And said that he was in, which blew me away because Canelo, last fight, didn't even want the belt. He said he's not fighting for any belt or whatever. He's not... he wouldn't pay the WBC fees and everything like that. He didn't want the WBC, and now they're in bed together again. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's a joke. I mean, Triple G deserves to be the middleweight champion. And everything Canelo's ever done, I think, in the last 4 to 5 years is tainted.
Well, don't you think Triple G should fight Billy Joe Saunders or Daniel Jacobs now?
No, he can't.
No?
I mean, number one, if you're fighting Saunders, you got 1 month to prepare for somebody that's the total opposite of
that's
what you're going to fight. So yeah. It gives Saunders an unfair advantage. Plus, Saunders he was getting ready to fight Martin Murray. Come on. You can't compare him to Golovkin. And with Jacobs hadn't really fought in forever, except for one guy that wasn't very good. So why does Jacobs want to take it on 1 month? Plus, you could sell a fight with Saunders and Triple G over in the UK in front of 80,000 people and make a shitload of money. You probably
can't
do it in a month's time.
Yeah.
That's it, man.
But... I mean, it doesn't change the fact that if Donald Trump would have built that damn wall, this wouldn't have happened.
Oh,
I got to take a shot at Donald Trump whenever I can.
Hey, well, why not? Why not?
He's just trying to keep us safe from the tainted meat.
There it is.
Everybody thought it was to keep illegal immigrants out, but it's just because he doesn't want tainted meat getting in here.
There you go.
That's right.
They get these McDonald's hamburgers and shit. They're wrecking.
Yeah, right. Everybody's testing positive for clenbuterol now.
Yeah. Everybody's on it because McDonald's has got it. But it just seems weird that Triple – I mean, how quickly did they strip Neary when he tested positive?
Yeah,
within 24 hours they stripped him.
Yeah, they sure did.
But with Canelo, we're going to have a meeting about it on April the 18th. I mean, the thing is this. The way the law goes is this. Once you've tested positive for something like this, you have to prove a chain of command of where you got this for the tainted meat. So my guess is maybe they gave him to April the 18th. Maybe he can pay some people off to say some shit, and they can do something that way. But it wouldn't surprise me if they decide to fight. Hell, you never know. Tomorrow they might announce the fight's going to be at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, who knows? Man.
I don't think they're going to fight. I think Triple G would be nuts. I think Triple G fights somebody like Spike O'Sullivan.
Yeah,
I've
heard
that. It's a fairly safe guy. Yeah, it's a fairly safe guy. And, I mean, hell, it's not like Triple G's ducked people through his career, so he can take one off, especially here, when it's not his fault.
No, he had nothing to do with this, you know.
And if everything is done the way it should be, I mean, Danny Jacobs should get the shot in September.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, because to me, Jacobs was closer to beating Triple G than Canelo was.
That's correct.
I had Jacobs winning that fight.
Daniel, like I said earlier, Eric, Daniel Jacobs deserves his rematch.
Yeah, the thing is this, Eric, a lot of people say Jacobs won the fight. It's probably like 50-50. But with Canelo Triple G, I know like two people that thought that Canelo won the fight, and they are just, you know, huge Canelo fans.
Yeah. You know, you brought up a really good point.
I mean, you give him a shot in September, you fight Billy Joe Saunders, you'd never fight Canelo again. Because the thing is this plays into Canelo's hands if you suspend it for a year, as crazy as it sounds, because Triple G is not going to get better over the next year.
No. But he'll get older.
So in the end, it could work out for Canelo. He gets to fight an older Triple G.
Yeah.
Let's face it, that's what he was waiting for the last 3 years anyways.
Yeah, that's why he kept delaying it. That's why they kept delaying it and, you know, going on and on. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But, all right, guys.
All right.
Keep up the good work. I got to get off here and watch this basketball game.
Okay, see ya.
Talk to you soon.
All right, see you guys.
See you later. That was Mike Goodpasture from The Grueling Truth. Remember to follow thegruelingtruth.com. We're on there. He's got a bunch of boxing podcasts on there. So, guys, go visit him, man. He's a great source of boxing information. Not only boxing, he's got everything out there from ice skating on down. He's
Mike's
got ice skating.
Mike's a good guy.
He's awesome.
He's a good kid.
Got everything on there, man. So, yeah, definitely do yourself a favor and go follow him here. All right, area code 805. 805, you're live.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's me, Nacho.
Hey, Nacho.
What's up, Nacho?
Nothing much. Before I get started with all the stuff that you guys have been talking about right now, I listened to the podcast last week, didn't get to call in. I just wanted to talk about something that you guys brought up because I heard that fucking pom-pom waiver Jason talk about it regarding Julio. Regarding Julio Cesar Chavez's career, he had the audacity to compare him to Deontay Wilder and say that Deontay Wilder gets a bunch of crap for fighting a bunch of stiffs, whereas Chavez fought a bunch of nobodies before he won his first title against Mario Martinez. But let me see Deontay Wilder have a resume like this the rest of his career. Chavez fought Roger Mayweather twice, Rocky Lockridge, Juan Laporte, Edwin Rosario, Rafael Bazooka Limon, Jose Luis Ramirez, Meldrick Taylor twice, Lonnie Smith, Frankie Mitchell, Hector Camacho, Greg Haugen, Pernell Whitaker, Frankie Randall three times, Tony the Tiger Lopez, Oscar De La Hoya twice, Joey Gamache, Miguel Angel Gonzalez, Costa Zu, and Ivan Robinson. When Wilder finishes his career, if he fights any quality of opponents like that, then he can talk shit about Julio Cesar Chavez, as far as I'm concerned.
Amen, Nacho. Amen.
I'm glad I got that out of the way, because I hate when dudes like Jason love to talk shit, but then they don't back it up with legitimate facts. As far as the fights this week or today, I was very disappointed in Joshua. I don't know what it was. It just looked like maybe having had lost those extra 12 pounds, which I thought were going to help him for this fight, it made him look worse for some reason. He didn't even fight anywhere near what he fought against Takam a few months ago.
No,
and
he looked absolutely lethargic. It was like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, he looked listless for some reason, which was weird because I didn't think that. Usually the opposite is when you gain weight, not when you lose it. So that's pretty disappointing. Yeah, maybe that's what it was. But as far as the scores were concerned, I agree with you guys. Those scores were completely awful. To have the fight scored 10-2 and 11-1 was insane.
And the referee sucked.
Yeah, and that also, too, I have no idea why the hell they got an Italian referee who, before this fight, had only refereed three world championship fights. That's ridiculous.
No, that whole thing was ridiculous. You bring in an experienced referee for that.
Exactly. That was just an awful call by whoever agreed to that referee. I can't believe Parker's team agreed to that referee, but that's their fault. At this point, I still do want to see the fight against Wilder just because we're never going to give, we're never going to let Joshua be, you know, like he's never going to get full credit until he takes on Deontay Wilder. So I really hope that they make the fight sooner rather than later just to kind of put this whole thing to bed and, you know, let them fight and like resolve it in the ring. The David Price Povetkin fight, I actually saw that fight. That was a brutal fight, and like the previous guy just said right now, Price just pretty much got beat because it was the same old story with him. He just runs out of gas. His defense gets horrible as the fight goes on, and he gets clipped with shots that he legitimately doesn't see coming, and that's what ended up happening. But I give Price credit because Povetkin did not walk away from that fight unscathed. Povetkin's face was kind of a mess. He was cut up and bleeding, and Price hit him with a couple of left hooks where he legitimately had Povetkin out on his feet. So Price gave as good as he got until the very end when he got knocked out. But Povetkin did not walk away from that fight unscathed. If anything, you could even make the case that David Price might have just softened up Povetkin for Anthony Joshua with that fight. There was nothing really. They all went chalk. Burnett defeated the guy that he fought, Perrette, who is a decent fighter, but he's not one of the best at 118. You know, he went the distance and he won the fight, but I just think that Burnett, you know, they've matched him correctly and made him look a lot better than he really is. Anthony Corrales just basically had a stay busy fight with the Mexican kid they put him in with, and he dominated. And then Josh Kelly, the hyped up prospect that everyone's been talking about, he dominated an old Carlos Molina who legitimately needs to stop fighting, because he might be 35, but he looks like he's 45. He looked completely slow, and he looked like he was underwater that entire fight tonight against Josh Kelly. So I hope his handlers talk to him about seriously thinking about hanging him up. And then let me just finish off with the whole Canelo controversy. At first, I was really willing to give him the benefit of a doubt because of the fact that, you know, he was in Mexico and he had, you know, been training down there. But then I started to question his whole story when I ended up reading that he got caught for the same thing 4 days apart. Like, there's no fucking way you should get popped twice in 4 days of the first test. And at that point, I just started to doubt his whole story. And it's very disappointing because, you know, he's pretty much they've been trying to make him the face of boxing in Mexico because he's like the biggest star from Mexico right now at this point. And by him doing this, it just makes him look completely bad at this point. And I honestly, I'm with you guys. I don't get why the Nevada State Athletic Commission isn't just coming out and saying, you know what, we're just going to cancel this fight. It makes absolutely no sense to have a hearing 2.5 weeks before the actual fight and act like what? The fight is still going to happen if Canelo tells you something that you want to hear. And also, too, some people have been reporting that he could get a year suspension if the commission decides to. But then they've also been saying if Canelo cooperates, they would cut the suspension in half to 6 months, and they would apply it retroactively, meaning that he would technically be suspended from the time he got caught for the first piss test, which was February 17th. So they're saying that if that happens, then he would be able to fight in September. So something tells me that if his back is against the wall, Golden Boy is going to go to him and say, look, bro, you're just going to have to bite the bullet and cooperate, and then we can try to reschedule this fight in September. And I think that's probably what's going to happen. And as far as Golovkin, I agree with Robbie. He didn't do anything wrong. He's the one who's clean, and he's the one who's been training. And granted, I don't like the Spike O'Sullivan option, but at this point, there's not a whole hell of a lot out there that he can put in the ring that's, you know, an acceptable replacement. They were even talking about putting that young prospect that's coming out of Mexico who's good, Jaime Munguia. And I really don't want to see that because that kid's not ready for that fight. I don't care if he's getting better every fight. He's not ready for that big of a leap against Golovkin. Like, that's just, you're looking to ruin the kid's career if you put him in there against Golovkin. So at this point, I'm okay with Spike O'Sullivan. And let's just see what happens after. Let's see if the fight gets rescheduled or if Golovkin just decides that he'll wait till Billy Joe Saunders fights Martin Murray, and then, you know, maybe they have that matchup, or Danny Jacobs ends up beating his guy, and then maybe he fights him. And just real quick, the only thing I have a problem with the Nevada State Athletic Commission is they're coming in and, you know, they're going gung-ho against Canelo. My only question is, where was this commission when Floyd Mayweather was being accused of using IVs to illegally rehydrate before fights, which they put in their own rule book saying that you're not allowed to use IVs to rehydrate, and yet they looked the other way when he did that. And also, too, there was always stories about Mayweather using lidocaine injections for his hands so he could fight, and the Nevada State Athletic Commission looked the other way also. So I just find it a little hypocritical that now all of a sudden they want to apply the rules to Canelo, but yet when their other cash cow was doing stuff that they knew wasn't legal, they just decided to look the other way. That's it, guys. Are you guys going to be back on Sunday next week?
Next Sunday, yes.
Next Sunday? All right. Yeah. Okay, guys. Oh, okay.
All right.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thanks. Nacho with the call. All right. So, you know, what would happen? Robert, let me ask you this question here. So,
okay.
The State Athletic Commission, if they come out, and nothing has been said or done here. I mean, they could come back and say, you know, and he's got a very good point about Floyd, but they could come back and say, hey, you know, we find Canelo innocent, the fight's going to go on. Even though it's really disruptive for both fighters, but they could do that. It's, you know, they can, you know, it wouldn't be the craziest thing to ever happen. I mean, you know, it is what it is.
Well, Eric, but, why would the commission do that if they've already issued refunds for people who bought tickets? That wouldn't make a whole lot of sense, would it?
No, but the commission does a lot of stupid stuff. But let me ask you this.
Yeah.
The question is, what if De La Hoya says, okay, let's move the fight to New York? And Mike had referenced this. What if they moved the fight to New York? Could they? I mean, and would, you know, would they follow suit and, you know, would that suspension carry? It's a state athletic commission. If it was in New York, different precedent, different commission. Is that a viable option?
Well, yeah, it's a viable option because New York has different rules. I mean, like Beeb said earlier, when Francisco Vargas fought Orlando Salido, that was here in California. They allowed the fight to continue. Eric Morales fought Danny Jacobs, it was in Brooklyn. The New York State Athletic Commission allowed it to go on. I could see them moving the fight to New York, but how do you get a fight of this magnitude to Madison Square Garden within a two-week period and allow people in New York to buy tickets?
Right. Well, not only that, I mean, you got to make sure that nobody else is there. I mean, you got to secure a venue. You got to, it's a lot. I mean, it's a lot, but I'm just curious, you know, just kind of thinking out, you know, is that an option? I don't know. I mean, if it is, I'm sure they thought of it. 508.
Go ahead, George.
This day, you'll be my new fool.
Yo, guys, could you guys go to Jason first and come back to me, if you please? The guy's driving me crazy there that he want to go first. I just wanted him to go, you know. I just didn't want to put him to come out.
Hey, listen, we called your name. We played your tune. It's time.
No, it's your time, Georgie. He can wait.
I just tried to be generous to my fellow, you know, caller here, you know.
He can wait.
Heart attack.
Jason is
he beat KO by Nacho.
Yeah.
Oh, man, Jason only come here to take losses. Feel sorry for dude, but what can we do? Anyway, great boxing, though. Great boxing, a little dough. I was expecting a KO, but, I mean, Parker did what he could. What you going to do against that monster? Nothing you can do.
Good fight, man. It was a good fight. Very technical fight. Very technical chess match. Very good fight.
Listen, Bib, you know your fucking pass to the UK have been revoked, right? Over now, buddy.
Repercussions. I'll deal with the repercussions. I don't like how this is.
By Monday, Bib Enterprise is going down too in the stock market. So get prepared, buddy.
Never.
Oh, that's okay. Consequences. Listen, this is the thing, yo, Beeps, but this is the thing. If the ring wouldn't be, I mean, if the shoe wouldn't be in the other feet, in the other foot, would you be mad? Instead of Eddie Herman and AJ calling all the chat, would be Al Heyman and fucking Deontay. Would you be mad?
I would. I really would.
Well, because of what he said, but what has he been saying here, baby? You can't even, I mean, what you going to really believe? This is all mind tricks. So, Jenna, mind tricks, baby.
Well,
what, you really think that AJ don't want to fight him?
I don't think he's overly interested right now or overly enthusiastic right now about fighting him. He's not showing it.
And to be quite honest, you wouldn't be either. And I wouldn't be either. If I can pack fucking 80,000 motherfuckers every time I want. Fighting anybody I want. So what do you want to do?
No, you know what? I see, Georgie.
The fucking golden fucking eggs?
I see Georgie's point here. What Georgie's saying is Anthony Joshua can fight anybody in the UK.
He's saying to himself, he don't even need the USA, baby. He's doing phenomenal. Phenomenal.
I agree, but it's the fight everybody wants. You know what I mean? I don't want to be
Georgie,
kind of
listen to me, Georgie. Listen to me for 3 minutes. We all need to stop being managers. We all need to stop being accountants. We all need to stop being financial advisors and stop worrying about all this stuff. Deontay Wilder said it on another podcast. Stop watching my pockets. We got to stop watching these guys' pockets. The two best fighters in this division right now are Joshua and Wilder. That's it.
Right.
Get it done.
Cry me a river, baby. Just cry me a river. I really don't care about that. You know why I don't care? I'm going to tell you straight up why I don't care from the bottom of my heart, baby. Listen, B, but it's not about his package. This is not where I'm coming from. The man is in control. Forget about the money situation. It's about the power. There is a war being fought right now. Do you see fucking... Did my eye deceive me or I saw Bob Arum sitting there?
He's got promotional rights to Joseph Parker. He co-promotes Joseph
Parker. But he was there. Okay, so how many UK fight Bob Arum be showing his face on?
The one that Joseph Parker...
Every day, hey, he go to this UK fight, We got Dana White kicking fucking AJ tires with $500 million. Not the Anthers, AJ's tires with $500 million. And you got the other reptilian sitting there watching, just waiting for Eddie Hearn to sleep to see if he can snatch that gold mine from him. And here you are talking about what is right on boxing. When these mafia have got away with fucking impunity for ages. For ages. And here you are talking about justice. Come on, Biebs.
You don't want the fight? That's fine. I mean, what am I going to do? You want to count pockets.
No. Let's be real. I'm not talking about what you want or what I want. I'm talking about the war about power and whose fucking pendulum is... The pendulum is swinging on this guy's side, on AJ's side. He's controlling. He's the shot caller. Eddie is an evil genius. This man tried to explain to the world and Wilder, like year and a half ago, listen, you're going to fight fucking White. And ain't nothing you can really do about it. So you fight this man, the AJ fight going to come along. But you got to play ball. And Wilder said somebody was fucking putting shit on his head. Nah. You're the WBC champ. Make some noise. Don't take his demands. What happened? Why are they going to get froze the fuck out? Go ahead and follow suit. This game been playing along before you was born, I was born, we all were born. It's power. And they have it. Simple as that. That's my call. Everybody out there, support, give the thumb up. I'm outie.
Thank you, Georgie.
Georgie. Final four, game two is going on. Kansas 5, Villanova 22. 12 minutes left in the first half. That game's looking like it's getting away from Kansas. I don't know. We'll see. All right. The moment everybody waits for with bated breath every week, of course.
He's a fucking mental case is what he is.
Why would you say that every time?
Salen, we're not just talking about who fucking Chavez beat. He just ignores the 50 bums he beat to start out his career. How are you just going to sit there silent like that? What's up with that?
You're still on that argument? That was a terrible... I got to be honest, man. That was one of your
worst arguments.
You
already counted out. You can't.
Yeah,
the fight's
you already stepped in.
What do you mean I'm already on that argument? Nacho just brought it up like 2 minutes ago. What are you talking about? I'm just responding.
It's over, son. The Chavez argument's over. You're wrong.
You just, you and fucking Beef just sat on your fucking thumbs up there talking silent when he's talking about he fought this guy, but he just ignored the 50 bums he started his career off with. So Wilder gets a pass for 50 bums also from Nacho. I just want that to be noted, you know. Nacho cannot talk shit about any of Wilder's opponents till he gets to at least 50 fucking bums. Nick, that's it. That's all I wanted to say about that. And fucking Robbie Kim coming in for the pass at the end. That's right, Nacho. That's right, Nacho. Robbie with his pom poms, fucking trying to send off Nacho with a good fucking call. Fucking asshole. Hey, did you guys watch Eddie's post fight interview on Showtime, Beeb and Eric?
Yeah.
I did.
Did you guys listen to the fucking blatant lie he said? He said Wilder, he'd look at his last fight, he fought in front of 6,000-7,000 people. You see how, like, the kind of blatant lies he tells? Like, he never says those kind of lies about anybody else. But Wilder, why do you think that is?
Well, you know what I don't like? I'll tell you what I don't like is that both, I noticed that Anthony Joshua did this and Eddie Hearn does this constantly. And he says, was it Shelly Finkel? And he goes, isn't it Shelly Finkel? Isn't that the one?
And he calls him Shirley.
Did AJ call him Shelly or Shirley? Did AJ call him Shelly or Shirley?
Shirley. He called him Shirley. It sounded like Shirley to me. But that's just pretty disrespectful.
That's like a fun and games. That's not that big of a deal because people could call Eddie a silver spoon baby and shit. But why would you lie about the guy that you're supposed to fight? You're telling him to raise his fucking profile and you're going to go on national television and say he fought in front of 6,000-7,000 people. When he fought in front of 14,000-15,000, he almost packed out Barclays. Why would you lie about that? I don't get that. He never used to say shit like that about Parker. When Parker fights in front of like 5,000 people in a pool hall in New Zealand, he never said shit like that about Parker. But you're supposed to fight Wilder next and you're downplaying him how big of a star he is in America? He fought in front of like 14,000 people and he did like million plus ratings on Showtime. That's like their record in the few years. So, I mean, I don't know why they're downplaying when they're trying to build up the fight. That's why it makes me suspicious they're not going to fight him.
That's why I say, Jason, it's not going to happen. They don't want the fight.
And just for the record, 6,000-7,000 is what Jacobs fought in front of in his fucking hometown. So Wilder is selling more than twice as much as Eddie's biggest star in America, just for the record there. That guy's a fucking lying piece of shit.
12,000. It was like 12,000, wasn't that the title fight?
It was 14,000, like, actually.
No,
it was 14,000.
It was 14,000 when he fought Ortiz.
And then
it was like 12,000 when he fought Stavern. And he got almost a million when he fought Stavern on Showtime also. So he's a big name. He's bigger than Broner, Spence, Thurman, everybody. Thurman, I don't think Thurman's going to do a million when he fights on Showtime at all.
He's not going to fight anytime soon. So,
he ain't
going to
fight. He backed out of it.
But they were going to put him in Barclays, and they've got so many fights coming in Barclays. They got the Broner fight. Then they probably have another card after. So they're probably like spacing it out. They're probably going to move it back a month or two. That's what I'm hearing. Also, I heard Stevenson and Jack might get pushed back.
Yeah, I'm hearing that too.
That's what Alex Bozdick's trainer said on ES News.
God, I hope
also,
not.
Guys, did you guys notice how Joshua looked like he just came to collect a belt? Like, I didn't see any urgency, any killer instinct. Like, I didn't see any of that shit tonight, like, at all, from round 1
no,
to 12.
No,
I didn't see it at all.
Jason, he looked awful tonight.
Against a guy like Parker, who's a very defensive. You know, Mike hit it right on the head, and he said that he's like the heavyweight Broner. He's right. If you watch the way he fights, he wasn't interested in getting to an exchange. He was interested in not getting hit. It just was.
I saw Carlos Tuckham and Andy Ruiz land bigger, cleaner shots on Parker than I did AJ.
Yeah, I mean,
they were rocking his head back.
He didn't.
Yeah, they were fucking taking it to him. They were taking it to him for real.
He didn't want any part of Wilder's power, or not Wilder's power, but Joshua's power. He didn't. He didn't want to get in there and mix it up.
AJ didn't want his power either. AJ was kind of reluctant, and also compare that to the killer instinct and urgency Wilder showed. And Ortiz didn't even have a belt on the line, and that was like a fucking way better, way more brutal fight. I mean,
he's got one style and one way to win, and that's okay. There's no problem with that. But you can't really
the fight I want to see. The guy that was bigging up Povetkin, I want to see Povetkin versus Ortiz ASAP, like right away. I want to see that fight. Those are the kind of fights we need. You know, we don't need fucking Povetkin and Ortiz fighting champs right now. They need to fight each other to get a fucking shot at the champ. That would be a great fight, I think. What do you guys think about that?
drug test them all, juice them both up.
Yeah, hey, I like that fight. Good fight, Jason. I like that fight.
Also, guys, looking at Ortiz's performance against Wilder, what do you think he would have done to AJ tonight or Parker? What do you think?
I don't think he would have fared well. He ran out of gas in the seventh round of his fight with Wilder.
That's because Wilder was fucking landing those Alabama bombs, bro.
Come on, man. no. He's gassed out because he's 90 years old. No, I don't think
you don't think that fucking Ortiz beats Parker? You don't think Ortiz beats Parker and gives AJ way more trouble than Parker did tonight? You don't think so?
No, I don't. Because, you know, with Parker...
What do you think, B? Step in, B. Step in.
Repeat the question again.
He doesn't want any part of your nonsense.
What do you think the Ortiz that fought Wilder, how do you think he does against Joshua and Parker of tonight? How they look tonight? What do you think Ortiz does with them?
Definitely has a shot at winning, yeah. He could win.
Both against both, right?
Yes.
He could.
More than Parker, for sure. More than Parker, for sure.
I would pick Ortiz over Parker, just being honest.
I would take Parker over Ortiz.
And I understand. You could go in that direction. It's a tight fight, no question.
Yeah, for sure.
I would pick Ortiz. And I'll tell you why. Because Ortiz would be fighting at a nice slow pace like he likes, but I think he'd be more accurate with his punches, and I think his punches would be more significant and they'd just be cleaner. I think he's more crafty than Parker is.
And how tall is Ortiz? Because I was kind of shocked to hear Parker's only like 6 foot tall. I was like, well, I didn't realize he was that short.
No, Parker's 6'4". He's 6'4".
6'4"? Okay.
Ortiz is 6'4" as well.
Yeah.
Ortiz just has heavier hands, I think. Southpaw.
See, one of the things that Joshua had today that he didn't use very well is a six-inch reach advantage.
He needs to work on his solar plexus jab like Ward and Floyd. That's like one of their best punches, and I don't see fighters using that. I don't know why, especially guys like Wilder and Joshua. They never use that punch. I don't get it. I just don't. I'm like fucking baffled why they wouldn't use a punch like that.
Because it's too dangerous. You know, you got to be quick to do that punch, man. It's way too dangerous because you get caught with an overhand right. You remember, all right, go back and watch the fight between Lennox Lewis and Razor Ruddock. Go back and watch that fight and watch what happens when you jab to the body. I'm telling you, it's dangerous. That's why a lot of people, you know, Floyd, you're talking about Floyd.
Did any of you guys watch Josh Kelly versus Molina? Anybody?
No, I didn't catch that fight. We heard Kelly won and won pretty handily, but we heard Molina's got to go. So,
yeah, he went the distance with him. I think he didn't look that good. He looked all right. And Molina's been on a 3-fight losing streak.
Yeah, they're loving Josh Kelly over there. He's getting a lot of love over in England. A lot of hype.
All right, guys, that's my call. Also, Nacho forgot to mention that fucking bum Gilberto Ramirez fighting Jesse Hart in his 40th fight. He forgot to mention that too. He used to call in next week and mention that.
You know, why don't you two get your own show?
We could, but that would be too much work. TBV got copyrighted today for fucking streaming the Josh Kelly Molina fight. They can't go live stream for 3 months.
I think Robbie and Jason need their own show. I think that would be entertaining. I would do that.
No.
Oh, wow.
Robbie's already got a show with Steve Kim. Robbie's already got a show with Steve Kim as Godfather.
Oh, give me a break.
Jason, what'd you just say?
I need to go ahead, Beeb.
No, what did you just say about 3 months? What happened for 3 months?
I guess the mad guy was streaming the Josh Kelly versus Molina fight, or he was showing the video for some reason, and they copyrighted him, and they can't go to live stream for 3 months.
Who is this?
Who did can't
this?
Go to live? Who?
The boxing voice. The boxing voice.
Okay.
Yeah, they go live like every day. But I was gonna say I need to do a show with Jordan Hardy from PBC. That's what I want to do, a show with PBC Jazz. I'll be a co-host any day.
Yeah, he might be out of your league. You might have to just settle with Robbie. Right?
That's right.
Have you guys been watching those boxing animations from that guy on Instagram? That Fidelic guy.
I haven't.
No, I
don't. Yeah, I'll send them to Eric. They're funny. He put Michelle Joy Phelps and Dylan White and Eddie Hearn, all of them, in the last one. All right, guys, my call. See you guys. Talk to you guys next time. Peace.
All right, see you.
Jason.
Wow.
All right, area code 203, you're live.
What's up, fellas?
What's going on?
Nah, man. What's up, Robbie, B, Eric, man?
What's happening, man?
Enjoying the show. Watching the Villanova game.
You're a first-time caller, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Connecticut.
Yes,
okay. Yeah.
Yep, home of Willie Pep.
All right.
It is.
The
Welcome to the show. What's up?
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. You know, I enjoyed the fight. Like Eric said, it was tactical. I said before the fight, you know, looking at the tape of Parker, he needed some Muhammad Ali legs, you know, even half of Ali legs to do better. But he didn't do bad. He showed us he's a top five heavyweight in the game. And he'll be back. You know, first person, he got nothing to hold his head down. He went all 12 with Joshua, so we got to give him that. But Joshua, you know, I know a lot of people going to give him a C performance. You know, he fought, like, real cautious. You know, like he was worried about his chin. Wasn't as aggressive as I would like him to be. You know, I know you guys are probably thinking the same thing. He's, you know, he's not in his prime. He's like, it's like the Canelo when he was 3 to 4 fights away from fighting Triple G. You guys get that same feeling?
Yeah, today it proved to me that he's got a lot of work that he's got to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Good one. I mean, and Parker was no, you know, it's hard to say that, you know, Joshua, you know, had a bad performance or this or that, but, you know, because again, he's fighting like higher levels of competition.
Exactly. No, his resume is amazing compared to, you know, compared to Wilder's, but at the same time, this show, like, just a little 1-2s, you know, Parker landed probably like 3 or 4 good 1-2s, but it showed me, you know, Wilder's 1-2s are a couple levels above that, where Eddie Hearn, his people, his management, you know, I hate to say it, you know what I mean? It's just the truth that they're looking at it like, you know, he's still young. He's got 22 fights now, you know, at 20, he's going to be in a super prime in like 3 to 4 fights. Then we'll make the fight. Wilder, what's he going to do? He has to wait. And Wilder's probably going to, you know, the PBC heavyweights aren't that good. So we really don't have to worry about him losing, even though, of course, anything can happen in the heavyweight division. So it's risky. But, and as good as Joshua is with the jab and the defense, this fight, and going into this fight, I'll be honest with you guys. I love both Wilder and Joshua. And I was like, I don't know who could win that. But watching this fight really makes me lean towards Wilder with the 1-2, man. The speed is going to be a major factor. And that's what I see, honestly. But, yeah, man, I do a show, Cornerman Radio. My co-host is out of Philadelphia, and we interviewed Ernesto, Jarrett Hurd's trainer, a couple of days ago. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to that fight. And I don't know, is Beef still on?
I'm here.
Hey, man. Yeah, man. You know, I was thinking, what do you think, man? Because Laura, let's be honest. Would you see Laura? We all know, you know, his trainer told me, obviously, we know her. He's going to put the pressure on. We've seen him be slick against Frank Galarza, but he did say, you know, we know her. He said, we're coming to get Laura out of there. But could you see me, Laura, doing – I definitely – you know, Ronnie Shields is a great trainer. I could see Laura being so agile and moving – you know, his usual moving around the ring real fast, lateral movement for the first 6 rounds, but then doing the Sugar Ray versus Thomas Hearns and coming after him the second half. Would that be the best game plan? What you think, your knowledge? That first Sugar Ray, Tommy Hearns fight.
Yeah, the thing with Lara is he's fought the same way his whole career, and he's 34 years old, so there's not much he can change. The problem he's going to have is uses a lot of legs. He uses his legs a lot, but he's not like Floyd when it comes to that head and shoulders upper body movement. So he can't plant and be elusive. He has to use his legs to be elusive. And because of that, eventually he carries himself out of range and he has to get back in range to be offensive. So there's a great deal of the fight where he's taken round, like a great portion of the round off because he's always moving out and he has to get back in to reset. Whereas he can't just plant and stand there and be offensive and flow, back into his defense to offense to defense. He can't flow smoothly because he's primarily using his legs. That's going to be a problem with this kid, Jared Hurd, because Jared Hurd cuts off the ring very well. I'm picking Jared Hurd to win this fight, possibly by even late stoppage, because he gets better as the fight goes on. He's got quick feet. His hands aren't the quickest in the world, but he always seems to mix in a hard punch in every combination he throws. So it's like he seems to always get the better exchange. He can take two and get his one, but his one is going to be a lot harder than your two. Now, Lara is a sharpshooter with that left hand. We already know that. But the problem is Lara can be outworked. He can give rounds away because he's on the back foot and the other guy's putting the pressure on him, and he's not moving his hands enough where he can, sway the judges to give him the round. So I think in this fight, I think the young Jared Hurd is going to be able to apply effective pressure. He finds a way of cutting off the ring. He always finds a way. People can sit there and say he's not a slick boxer. He's not a prototypical, it does everything technical. But he's a little bit more technical than people give him credit for because he always finds a way to mix in that one hard shot that can turn the fight around. And I think that he's going to get Lara's respect. And I think Lara's going to be a little bit more defensive later in this fight. And that's where I think the fight's going to be on the table for Jared Hurd. That's where I think he's going to take the fight. I think you're going to see a different Jared Hurd from rounds 7 to 12. And that's going to be the difference. I think he's going to, commit to the body in this fight. And I think that's going to also slow Lara down. So I think this is Jared Hurd's fight to win. I'm picking Jared Hurd in this fight. I really am.
I agree, man. I mean, the Angulo fight was 5 years ago. Jared Hurd is bigger, longer, stronger than Angulo
faster
is. And I understand Lara got up off the canvas. Lara showed us his heart. He got up off the canvas twice from two, I think it was good left hooks. But I think 5 years down the road, it's not like Lara's that old though. He is 34. He took some body work versus Canelo. That's about it. And the two shots against Angulo. So he's not like, he's not James DeGale who's on his undercard. And I love James DeGale. He's a warrior, but he's been in too many wars. But I will say, I believe Jared Hurd. I agree everything you said, man, pretty much. But it'll be exciting, man. But, yeah, man, I appreciate you guys. Great show. And I hope to call back soon. And I don't think we're going to, unfortunately, I hate to say it because people are so mad about it. But I just, Wilder Joshua, people say, don't talk about the business, this and that. But it's just like, what do you think?
Look, when
it
you,
is
when
what
you
it
do,
is.
When you do what we do each week, you have to talk about the business. You can't ignore it. I don't think this fight happened for another year.
Yeah, man. Robbie, I agree with you, man. Great points tonight. Eric, great job. Beeb, great job. And I'll call back some other time.
All right,
hey,
good call.
Yep. Later, man.
First time caller. Look at that. All the way from UConn. All right. Beeb, it's time.
It's time. Brianna, we need you to do the train wreck, please. Get in here. Hurry up. No, you're on the clock. You're on the clock.
Oh,
my. Oh, please. Very good.
Chugga. Choo-choo.
Wow.
There
great.
You go.
Great.
So much better than when Beeb does it, I'll tell you that. Sounds like two cats fight when Beeb does it. I'll tell you that right now. Train wreck of the week this week, Deontay Wilder says that he wants to kill someone in the ring. Yes, that's right.
Oh, my God.
He wants to Ivan Drago somebody in the ring. So Wilder sat down with the Breakfast Club, and this is what he said. I want a body on my record. I want one. I really do. He says, and he went on to say, that's the Bronze Bomber. He want one. When I'm the Bronze Bomber, I don't care. I want that on my record. Deontay would feel bad, but we signed up for that. That's either his words, not mine. Seriously, you want to kill somebody in the ring? That's what he wants to do?
Oh, my God. This goes to show me, Eric, that this generation of millennials don't pay attention to boxing history. Just ask Ray Mancini what it was like to actually do that to Dooku Kim, okay? I mean, come on. You can't be saying that crap.
No. In all honesty, I don't think he meant it. I don't think that's, you know, I think it's like his persona, him trying to get attention, and he's doing a good job of promotion.
I get he's trying to get attention. I get he's trying to promote himself, but you don't actually put that out there.
Definitely better ways to go about it, for sure. Jeff Horn and Terrence Crawford is officially set for June 9th. A lot of people were wondering before the fight got pushed back, how come it hadn't been announced yet? And of course, you know, Terrence Crawford had the injury or whatever. And I think they were waiting. I think they knew something was going to happen, so they ended up pushing it back. But that fight is official for June 9th. So there you go.
That'll be the same night as Leo Santa Cruz and Abdur Morris.
Yeah. I think I'll pause on that one. Yeah, I've seen it. We've seen the fight. I don't understand these rematches that don't make sense. You know?
I know.
Keith Thurman, who's been out of action since last March because of right elbow surgery, now has another injury that sidelined him. Thurman suffered a deep bruise to his left hand and has been forced to pull out of his next fight scheduled for May 19th against whoever. I mean, there wasn't even an opponent for it. He wanted a, how did he put it? A tune-up fight. He wanted a tune-up fight. He didn't want to fight anybody good. He wanted a tune-up fight, you know, a sparring session. And there is no reschedule has been announced. So, who knows?
You know, at this point, Eric, you've got to say Keith don't want to fight Thurman.
Yeah, you know, well, they got to strip him. I mean, at this point, I think they have to strip his title. You know,
take them both away, make them vacant. Come on.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree.
When was the last time he fought again, Eric? Do you remember?
Last March.
Last March?
Yeah, so over a year ago.
Yeah, it's a year.
He's got to give it up now, right? Done.
I don't know.
Done.
See what happens.
See, that'll do it. For this edition of Ringside Reporter, as always, you can catch Robert on Twitter at Ringside Robert or call Ringside Robbie's Corner at 917-259-1810. Leave a message. You can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1. Find his YouTube channel at beatingtheoddswithbeeb.com. I'm at Ringside73. Happy Easter, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Happy Easter. Take care, everyone.
Yeah, happy Easter, everybody.
Happy Easter, Robert.
Happy Easter,
Robert.
Yeah,
happy Easter. Yeah.
Yeah. They have Easter. Yeah, they have Easter all over the world. Happy Easter, UK.
That's right.
There you go. All right.